We only have one announcement today. The Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday to look at the parables of Jesus. And this week we're going to be looking at the parable of the wise and foolish builders. And it's found in Matthew 7, 24 to 27, and Luke 6, 46 to 49. And if you are interested in coming to Bible study, or even if you're interested in looking at it, there's copies of the Bible study at the back on the podium. Feel free to take it home with you and take a look at the questions. The call to worship this morning is from John 14, 16 to 17, and it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Our first hymn this morning is "Breathe on Me, Breath of God, Stand If You're Able."
Which I was negligent to put on here was next Sunday afternoon there is a association service that's going to be at Union Baptist Church in the afternoon. So if anybody here is interested or available to come to that service, Kevin and I have been there the last 2 years, and it's always a very worthwhile service. The last 2 years they've had a potluck meal afterwards, but this time when I got the information, it doesn't mention that. So I'm going to have to get some clarification on whether there is a meal following the service or not. But if you're able to go, Union Baptist Church, it's a wonderful time with some of the people that are at other churches within our association, and so definitely think about that. And the other thing is just that there's a brief board meeting following the service, just an item of business that we need to discuss. So if the board members can meet in the prayer room, that would be wonderful. Just one other thing I wanted to let you know. We did get a phone call that Millie had a fall in her house this morning. So just keep Millie in your prayers. She's not injured and is just resting at home for today. So just keep Millie in your prayers. And let's go to God and the throne of grace in prayer at this time. God, our Father, we thank you so much for your presence here with us. Lord, we just thank you for the protection that you've provided for Millie this morning. Lord, we just ask that you will recover any injury or pain or discomfort she's feeling from her fall and be with her so that she can rejoin for worship next week. Lord, we just know that you have the healing power, and Lord, we just ask for that for Millie today. Lord, we just thank you for this church family and this church and this community. And Lord, we just thank you that you've kept these doors open even through the years where we didn't have a pastor. But Lord, we're just so thankful that you brought James to serve here in this place. And as he travels this week for our Baptist convention, that you would give him traveling mercies and help him to enjoy this time of fellowship with other believers from the churches within our convention. May it be a refreshing time for him as he attends this event, Lord, and as he represents our church. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for each person that's part of our church family. We pray for those that aren't here this morning, whether they're traveling or whether there's health concerns. Lord, you know the situation with each person intimately. And Lord, we just ask for your protection and care over anybody that's not here worshiping together this morning with us. And Lord, we just thank you for this community and the opportunity we had a few weeks ago to deliver flyers with your gospel message. And Lord, we just pray that those little pamphlets got read and that your word has spoken to people within our community, even though we may not even be aware of that. But Lord, we just ask that you would stir hearts in our community. Help people to see the need for you in their lives, that you are the one and only way of salvation. And Lord, we just thank you that that message was so clearly imprinted on those pamphlets. Lord, we just thank you for our fellow Baptist churches in our convention and the churches within our city that are meeting this morning. Lord, we just thank you that there's so much partnership between the churches, and we just thank you that your spirit is at everywhere, and that you're speaking through the music and through the message that's preached in each church. And Lord, we just thank you for the faithfulness of people in this, that are serving in the churches. And we thank you for each person that serves here as well, Lord. We just ask that you would continue to use us to reach out into our community. Lord, we just thank you for the country that we live in. And Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we have. Lord, we pray for our leaders and just ask that you would turn any hearts that in our leadership within our country that doesn't know you as their Savior, that you would draw them to yourself, Lord. Help them to lead in ways that are pleasing and fair and that are honoring to you. So, Lord, we just pray for our government leaders. We also pray for leadership in countries around the world, Lord, where there's persecution, where there's turmoil, where there's pain and suffering. Lord, we just pray for countries that that need leadership that does know you as their Lord and Savior, that make godly decisions. And Lord, we just pray for you to bring peace in areas of our world that there's unrest. Lord, we pray for our missionaries that are serving in countries, and we ask for your protection upon them as they boldly share your word and message, and they share your love with people in the countries where they're ministering. So, Lord, we just thank you for the partners that we have in ministry and all of our missionaries that are working with our Baptist ministry and mission area. So, Lord, we just thank you for the work that's being done. Lord, we just pray for the service this morning. Be with James as he brings your message. And Lord, we just pray that as you speak to us, that the message will be something that we take with us, that we meditate on through the week, that we share with our families. And Lord, we just ask that you help us to be, not to shrink back, but to speak out for you in all of our situations, whether at work or in our neighborhoods or with our families. Lord, just help us to be bold witnesses for you. And we just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Please stand as we then and said, receive the Holy Ghost.
The scripture reading this morning is found in Acts 2. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4, 14 through 18, and 32 to 39. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Down to verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now down to verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call."
So a good morning to each and every one of us here today. It's the first day of the month of June. We have been blessed with good weather. How many of us are enjoying the weather today? Oh, great. And I heard that it will get warmer as we go more into the day. So what a beautiful day. Okay, so I welcome everyone once again. Today in this month, I decided I'm going to be putting on some African wares. So I decided to put this one on today. Amen. I hope it looks nice. So this is from Ghana. This is from Togo, but it's worn by a lot of Ghanaians as well as Nigerians and some other parts. So I get to combine these two together. So the other Sundays I will be here. Like you heard, I've been traveling this week because of our annual assembly for the Canadian Baptists of Ontario and Quebec that is holding at St. Catharines. So when I'm around on the Father's Day, which is 15th, I'll put on another one. That should be from Ghana. Yes, that should be from Ghana. And then I'll be off again to Toronto to Tyndale University, and then I'll be in back with us on the 29th, and that I get to put on my Nigerian wear, and that's going to be, we call it Agbada. We have similar thing called in Ghana as well. So that's a flowing gown with the top like this and pant to join, and then with some good heart. Yes, so you are going to be seeing me dressed up in that. So you get a feel of at least three different cultural dressing or clothes. And it's beautiful because this season is the Carousel of Nations going to be hosted in Windsor here. And it's become something that even in Ontario is, you know, the Ontario government has come to recognize. That's like our own carnival here at Windsor. And then also the Canadian government also recognizes that. And so this year, it will be 50 years of the Carousel of Nations, or Carousel. Don't worry, any of the two, Carousel. Just take the one that's okay. And it's beautiful That is in the month of June. The month of June in the calendar of the church also is the season of Pentecost. And so it's beautiful to see something like that run for 50 years here in Windsor. And that just draws our attention back to the issue of the Pentecost, because the Pentecost is described as the festival of weeks and is actually the 50th day of that season of harvest, where you have the wheat harvest and they get to celebrate. It's like a season where people eat a lot of food. I always say that's swallowship. There's always room for swallowship when you have fellowship. So on the 8th, there will be light refreshment when you go for the Pentecost program that is coming on between the Western Association and the Amisburg Regular Missionary Baptist Association. So we'll have something to choose. So please try and be there. Every color is required. Every person, every church should be represented there. And our church, magnanimously, I know Kevin and Don will be going. So any of the rest of us who have never experienced it before, this is an opportunity to go on that trip and have Pentecost Windsor version. Amen. The Bible tells us in the place that was read that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it seemed like a carousel of nations. Pilgrims from all over the world that are Jewish people would travel. This is one of the major festivals. And I always say this. I remember I was talking some years ago, and I was talking to someone who was into business. And I said, into business and something foodie and something agricultural. And I said to them, I said, does it not baffle you, or don't you wonder about it, that the season that the Holy Spirit was to come was a season of harvest? A season when people gather from all over the world, pilgrims like that, gather for that occasion. They come with goods. They come with, you know, spices. They come with treasures. It was a big business transaction season. And people came from all parts of the globe. And they would, at the end or in the season of this doing the festival, they will eat meals. They would enjoy themselves. They will meet again with family and friends. They will network. They will connect. And it was something that most Jewish people of that time and even today would always want to go back and have it. So it was also a time of tourism, a time of celebration. So you had people from different parts of the globe who are not even Jewish, because they know all the movers and shakers will gather there, all the different types of businesses and people. So they would come with their own merchandise in order to make sales. It was on such a wonderful, colorful occasion that God, by his own sovereign wisdom, would release the Holy Spirit. And it was that season that the church was battered. Why would the church be battered on something that would involve people from all around the globe, the world as it known then? Why? Because people will move from there. And if you see the records, people from Africa, people from Asia, people from the Arab world, everyone was gathered, and the Holy Spirit came down, and the Bible tells us Peter would have this wonderful message, and he preached, and every one of them, because the Holy Spirit was on the apostles, the disciples, all of them that gathered in the upper room, they began to speak in diverse tongues. And the Bible says, all of them said, we hear them in our own languages, speaking or proclaiming the wonderful works of God. What a way for God to bathe the church. That meant that God wanted a global church, that the message of Jesus, the message of the cross, is a global message, that the salvation of God is a global one for every person, every tribe, every tongue. So it was like a carousel of nations there. And they all heard. For the first time, it was simultaneous translation. Not by any man, but orchestrated by God himself. So you didn't need to put on a translator in your ear. God just, it was the Holy Spirit theater. And they all got excited. Because there's something that resonates in your spirit when you are able to hear many times in your mother tongue. That's why globally, the gospel is being preached alongside diverse indigenous lines. That's why the Bible Society, like the Bible Society of Ghana, Canada as well. That's why there are Bible societies all over. Why? Their interest is to translate the Bible and make sure that it gets to every indigenous language within every nation where they find themselves. Because God wants people to hear him clearly. The gospel of Jesus must be heard clearly, even in the indigenous tongues of people. Do you know why? Ultimately, in Revelation, John would write in this preview that God would give him a prophetic preview about the end time and what will happen after the rapture. And he says, I see a multitude of people from all nations, from all tongues, from all tribes, and all of them were dressed in white robe. Why? Because they have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And what did they do? They worshiped God day and night. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful scenario to see. That from the day of Pentecost, people gathered from different places, and ultimately, at that throne of mercy, people will gather from different nations and they'll be worshiping God day and night. That means the gospel of Jesus has saved lives. Whether it's in Canada, whether it's in Nigeria, whether it's in Ghana, whether it's in Britain, whether it's in Saudi Arabia, wherever, all around the world, this gospel of the kingdom, empowered by the Holy Spirit, transforms lives. And so, we share with ourselves this morning, Pentecost, empowerment for supernatural turnaround. So Pentecost moved from just being a festival to becoming the grand entry of the Holy Spirit here on earth to change the lives of mankind. Jesus said to his disciples over and again, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Because the assignment of mission, the assignment of evangelism, the assignment of proclamation of the good news of Jesus will not be achieved by our human strength. I would always say there's no assignment that God gives to any human person that will not require him. And so for us to live as Christians, for us to carry his message, we need the Holy Spirit. Even though we need to be taught, even though teaching is important and is very vital in the life of the church, and as Baptists, we take teaching of God's word very important. But more than the teaching of God's word is aligning our lives with the Holy Spirit, because in Him we are able to have connection with God the Father as well as God the Son. And so Jesus said, I will not leave you fatherless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you without a comforter. And so I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he who is the Spirit of truth, he will teach you all things. So one of the strongest, you know, thing about the presence of the Holy Spirit is that he empowers us through his teaching ministry. And he anoints us with supernatural abilities to help people see God in their lives and situations. So when we say Pentecost is empowerment for supernatural turnaround, it becomes easier for us to look who are the disciples of Jesus and what happened to them on the day of Pentecost. That's a critical turnaround, both in their lives and the scenery as it had to do with their ministry. So, how many of us remember our brother Peter? The man who was stammering when just a young lady, a young girl, would say, you look like one of his disciples. I said, me? I'm not the one. I'm sure you're looking at the wrong person. Where did we meet? Have we met lately? In fact, I don't follow him from afar. I'm not a fan. I'm not a lover. How much more his disciples? So please, I'm not the one. The same Peter that was scared. The Bible said, in fact, one of the greatest things they did after that was they locked themselves up. They locked themselves up in a room. They would not even go and check at his dead body, his corpse. They wouldn't go there because they were soldiers. They wouldn't go there because the Jewish authority, as well as the Roman people, were looking for them. And so they stayed away. And for you to know the kind of men they were, it took women to go to the tomb. Well, if they were caught, that's their business. If they were treated or maltreated, that's their problem. But we have the ministry, lock up the door ministry. And they stayed there. But the women had more boldness than them. So I need you to see the kind of person that would later stand before people where the whole world had showed up. Peter led the others to be locked up in a place. Men who should be bold as a lion were scared and cowardice. But the story will change. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire came upon them. They began to speak in tongues. And the same Peter who could not face people, the same Peter who was running away, the same Peter that had denied Jesus Christ, the same Peter that, you know, Jesus had said, no, you are going to lead the rest of the flock, who was afraid and couldn't show a good example as a leader, the example he gave them was, this is the best time to hide away. But suddenly when the Holy Spirit came upon him, exactly what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he had said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Boldness erupted within him. The moment the Holy Spirit came upon them and the people started saying, these guys are drunk. Now, just think about that for a bit. If they said these guys are drunk, they might have had experiences of people who came drunk to the temple. Amen. I hope you understand. And sometimes in my little life as a minister, I remember some years ago when I actually started ministry, it was in a rural setting in the southern, or what we call the south part of Nigeria. And it's an area, for that area, we are blessed with what we call, there are two names we call it. It's a similar name for the second name they call it. You know, the locally brewed alcohol. We have some around here. Amen? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A very big one around here that exports that kind of water. It's not pure water. It's the kind of one that can make you, amen. I know you understand what I'm saying. So we did have the local one there. And about 7 a.m. in the morning, you could be privileged to meet with somebody who was already speaking in some kind of tongues, but was motivated by, I hope you understand what I'm saying. 7 a.m., somebody has taken the wrong one. And you could see the movement is different. The person is seeing you and you are three. Because the thing is working. And so the person could be greeting you, and not because the eyes are having, you know, is greeting you, but you are here and is looking at you on this side. You know that the alcohol is working. So they've seen people come into the temple that must have been drunk. And so when the disciples started their kind of drama in their heart, they said, oh, what do we have today? How would we have come for Pentecost and we have drunken brothers here? How would this not happen? Because the finest wines and the finest whatever came at the same season. Because there are those who come to sell them for those who have come from different nations. And some people might be tempted to have a taste. Some people have the ministry of alcohol testing. So they drink the cups. And that was what they taught. And so the people in the midst of the congregation, they were spreading the word. These guys, they are drunk. Don't worry, they are drunk. Suddenly, the Peter that was a coward, that could not stand for Jesus in public, stood up and said, men and brethren, these guys that you are seeing, they are not drunk by alcohol. They are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And if you believe the Old Testament, if you believe the prophets, if you believe the Torah, it has been said by Joel. He said, for in the last days, the Lord had said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your old men will dream dreams. And people will see visions. And he said, that's what is being fulfilled. And then the Bible said, he went on preaching this wonderful message of Jesus. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you killed. The same one before you that was raised from the dead. He is the one who promised that when he ascends into heaven. And just like in this week, I think it was Thursday, we had the ascension in the church calendar globally. And after that ascension, Paul will say so many years later, he said when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. Some to be prophets, some to be apostles, some to be teachers, some to be pastors. He just gave gifts to men. And the strongest manifestation of that was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And every other gift came through the Holy Spirit. And what happened? On that day, thousands of people were caught by God. And they asked, what can we do to be saved? Because Peter did not speak by himself. It was no longer the coward Peter. It was no longer the hiding Peter. It was Peter that had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he spoke in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the strongest messages that would transform lives created a turnaround in the history of the Pentecost. It was a Pentecost that ushered in the birth of the church of Jesus. And all of them that were there, the 11 and others, had now been taken over. And these men would carry the message of Jesus, and it would get to us here to other parts of the world. Why? Because they waited to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know the good news? The Holy Spirit, from that day till now, has not left us. He has remained here on earth. You know why? Because each and every one of us that have given our life to Christ or will yet give their lives to Christ will need his empowerment, will need his comfort, will need his strength to navigate their Christian journey and become better. Why? He is the one that is able to fill our preachings, our teachings, our evangelism, our missions, that it's not just ordinary. What makes the difference between our speeches, our discussions, our prayings, our going out with those that other social group does is that it is energized by the Holy Spirit. That it has the power, and we have seen it proven over and again, to change the worst of sinners and make them fruitful and responsible people to the society. And can I say, without the Holy Spirit at work in the Church of Christ, we will not have the results of transformation that we find that the gospel of Jesus has brought to every community that it ever came to and it will ever get to. And that's why we know that we have a gospel that not just changes the behavior of people, but changes the lives of people forever. And you and I are privileged to still be able to connect to that. And so that means if you are here this morning and you look at your life and you know that you have not given your life to Christ, can I say to you, the same Holy Spirit does the work of conviction and does the work of renewal and connects us to Jesus. And he is ever ready, ever available to find expression in our lives, because he makes us to know within our spirit who Jesus is. No one can reveal Jesus as the Holy Spirit does. No one can help us experience the power of God as the Holy Spirit does. And so if you are here, you are feeling down, you are feeling tired, you are even afraid to share your faith with other people, or you are looking at your life and you feel that, oh, there are stuffs that are not going well, there are issues I'm battling with, then I can say the Holy Spirit is ever present to turn our lives around. While I was growing up in Nigeria, one of the songs that I came to learn, having been a part of the Christian church and fellowship, says, I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. And I have no power of my own. I confess to you, Holy Spirit, now I have no power of my own. Now I have no power of my own. And that's something we should know. I have no power of my own, and I confess to you, Holy Spirit, that I have no power of my own. And so as we move on, every day in our journey as Christians, we must realize, the Bible says, for by strength shall no man prevail. And the Bible went on to say, it's not by power, not by mind, but by my spirit, says the Lord. If we could learn to wait, it said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount upon wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and be not ashamed. Question. How are we doing with our Christian walk? Are you just a Christian by words of mouth? Or actually, you have received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the empowerment was for them to share about Jesus. And the Peter that was hiding spoke publicly to tell people about why they need Jesus and who Jesus is to them as their Savior. That message is ever alive. And so if you've been in the church, you're online, and you have not given your life to Christ, then I can say this, without a surrender to Jesus, you may not experience the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit at work as it is today. And it's the same Holy Spirit through his giftings that we talk of diverse miracles, that we talk of the gift of wisdom, that we talk of the words of knowledge, that we talk of the gifts of healings and faith. It is through the same Holy Spirit that we talk of the fruits, the character of God manifesting in us. Joy, peace, love, long-suffering, patience, gentleness. Without the Holy Spirit, both the charisma and the character, or the gifts and the fruits, will not find expression in our lives. And when they don't, then our Christianity will be superficial. It will just be on the surface. And it will not be transformative. And it will not influence our society. Why do we have people who profess to be Christians, and yet in their areas and in their kind, society is getting worse? Because they have not been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because they have not sought for his empowerment. Because they want to use their personal knowledge or their self-righteousness to achieve the things that they ought to do for God and do with God. If we are going to be light, like Jesus said we are, if we are going to be salt of the earth, like he has proclaimed we are, then we need the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives. And you know the good part? Ever since the disciples encountered him, every one of us who received Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, we have the same access. Have you heard some people, and even some who say they are Christians, say, oh, the Holy Spirit era ended with the apostles. Oh, the Holy Spirit is not working again. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are dead. Such people celebrate their ignorance. Because Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what he promised is still for us. You know what he said? He said, this is for you and your children. For those near and those that are far off. Those of us who are far from the Middle East, we are those that are far off. And we still have those far, far off. And everyone is covered. And so as we prepare, next week Sunday will be the Pentecost Sunday. And as we position ourselves to remember that day, the question we need to ask is this. Do I, or have I, received Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior? Because when they said, what can we do? Peter said, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. You will be baptized. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so if you are here or online and you have not received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, this is a good day. What does it take? Nothing too much. It just requires your faith in the finished work of Christ. Not your self-righteousness, because none of us can do nice with that. We would always fail. So just receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, because you acknowledge you are a sinner, you can't save yourself. And whatever are the techniques or methods or provision outside there can't help us. There would always be vacuum. And that vacuum can only be filled with the love of God that was made available to us in Christ Jesus. And when you acknowledge and receive Him into your life as your Lord and Savior, you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you start your Christian adventure, because the Holy Spirit would always be there. That's all it requires. It doesn't need you to have to meet with a pastor. Anywhere you are this moment, you could just bow down your head, bow your heart, and say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know I can't help myself. I release myself into your hands. And I say, come into my heart. Give me your righteousness. And give me your Holy Spirit. Let my life not remain the same. Let me live to serve you. Let my name be written in the book of life. And let your love overtake me. If you said that and you prayed that, I can tell you, that same Jesus has welcomed you and has taken over your life. But then, you could always look for a Bible-believing church, or we have open room here to receive you. It will always be nice to have one more person, two more, three more, as many as possible. Why? Because when Jesus saves us, He brings us into His family. He brings us into His community. And there the Holy Spirit gifts our lives, and we use His gifts and His presence to bless other people. And so if you have said that prayer today, whether here or in person or online, know that Jesus has taken over the steering in your life. And that's a wonderful thing. And I can tell you, get ready to move in the power of the Holy Spirit and to be blessed by Him. Okay, so before we end here today we are having the communion. And the communion is Jesus helping us to realize and to value what He came to do. The Bible tells us just before His death, the Jewish tradition did have the Passover. The Passover was a celebration reminding them of how a lamb had been slain, the escape sacrifice, when they would have been slaughtered in Egypt. And God said to them, this night you sit and this animal that is being killed, put the blood of the lamb on the lantern. The angel of death will pass through Egypt, but you'll be spared, because when I see the blood, I will pass over you and the angel of death will not come near you. And so, after that escape from Egypt, what we call the Exodus, God would initiate a season every year where they had the opportunity to do this. But then something beautiful happened when Jesus came. The Bible says the first time Jesus showed up, John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world." And so Jesus became our Passover Lamb. In essence, he took the place of the yearly sacrifice once and for all. But then, before his ascension, and even afterwards, he showed them something. The Bible says, he took the bread. And when he took the bread, he spoke to them and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And I always love Isaiah. Isaiah said, "He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we were healed." You know, today we can look at Easter that we celebrated some few times back and be grateful and celebrate, but it was a painful experience. But he took that experience because of us. And the Bible said he also took the cup. And when he took the cup, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins." And you know what? In Leviticus, it was said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So in the Old Testament, when the lamb was being slaughtered, so the blood and the body meant something. And Jesus says, "Now that I'm the lamb, my body as well as my blood is the new covenant, the new access to God." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So as we have opportunity monthly, like we do here, to take the communion, we are reminding ourselves that the value that God placed on us was so much that Jesus gave his life for us. And it is because of that that we can talk about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because without Jesus' sacrifice, we cannot. And we would never have had the Holy Spirit come. And so as we come to the communion table today, let's come with a sense of solemnity. And let's come with a sense and a heart of gratefulness. That, Lord, I'm grateful for your death. I'm thankful because of your death, we have access to the Holy Spirit that makes our life the best of whatever God wants. And so as we take the communion today, take it with that sense and understand that we will have the privilege to partake again in heaven with him. Father, we bless these elements of the communion as symbols of your body and your blood. As we partake this, O God, continue to strengthen our faith, continue to strengthen our lives, and help us not to disappoint you, but to embody you to our world. And let it be, O God, that your Holy Spirit would take preeminence in every areas of our lives, and that we will have all that you have sent the Holy Spirit to do manifest in our lives to the glory of your name and to our blessings. We therefore bless these communion elements today in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God, the Holy Spirit. And as we partake in this worship experience, we will not remain the same again. Amen. Please go ahead and let's take in unity. I want you to just speak to the Lord. I don't know if there's anything you would like to speak to him in the next few seconds. Just talk to the Lord. Pour your heart before him. If there's any concern, any weight, just pour it before him. And let him do what only he can do in our lives. Is it a health situation? Is it a spiritual matter? Is it a body in our soul? Just laid before him. The Holy Spirit is here, is a comforter to comfort us even when things are hurting and paining. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for a moment like this. Thank you for the opportunity to come and partake with other brethren at your table. Lord, we ask, O God, that all the different desires in our hearts that are in line with your will, as we have called upon you, let it be a positive, supernatural turnaround. And Lord, even in the word we have heard today, let Pentecost come afresh, anew in our lives. And let us live to the glory of your name, carrying the message of Jesus to our world, leaving us examples and having the blessings thereof. We pray for Canada. We pray for Windsor. We pray for Ontario. And we say, O God, let the Holy Spirit fill our lands and take over lives. Let there be transformations and let your blessings flow. These and much more we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And the church say amen.